So I will call the meeting to order. Yes, welcome back, Human Rights Commission. There's one item that I'm adding, and I am passing that around right now. I'm also on the Vinci Council, and last night one of our pastors shared this information with us that at the ELCA conference, they passed an ordinance, and the vote number is on the top. What does it say, Sean?
718 to 191.
Okay, so 718, yes, 191, no, that the ELCA will be a sanctuary congregation. So it's a Q&A that he handed out last night. In Wilmer, that would include Bethel, Calvary, Haas, and Vinci.
And Eagle Lake.
Eagle Lake, yes, Eagle Lake also. And there's several more around the county.
Wow.
So that was new as of 2 weeks ago in August, I think was when the conference was. So that is information for that.
Great thing to do, but that's not going to be popular.
Okay, here comes Barb. Oh, and Jonathan.
Hello.
Hi.
Yay.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
We're just calling the meeting to order.
Hi.
So, and there, I just announced, there's a Q&A going around that I was given last night at Vinci Council, that the ELCA has passed a ordinance to be a sanctuary congregation at their conference that was in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago.
Do the individual churches have to approve that then?
It's voluntary.
It's voluntary. They don't want to put individual congregations in any situations that they feel would be against what they believe. Kind of the same as calling when they passed a resolution, I think in 2009, that...
The gay marriage?
Yeah. Well, that and that ordained or pastors could be gay that you could call a pastor. It was up then to the individual congregation then to call a pastor.
So I just wondered if there's going to be individual congregations that have to consider it and decide whether or not they are.
I would guess they might discuss it, but they don't have to.
Right.
It's not a mandate. They aren't going to try to.
Right. It isn't. Right. It isn't a mandate. But it was passed 718 to 191 in the.
So it's kind of like an endorsement.
It's an endorsement from the from the ELCA. Comes Nate and son. Yes.
A new member of the
Human
Rights Commission.
Yeah, he's the youngest member.
So. Great.
Growing
Thank
up.
You. Great. Okay, so I'll call the meeting to order again. Do we have a motion to approve our April minutes? That was the last time we had a quorum.
I so move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. There's only one member of the public here, and she is our guest speaker today. Nadia, are you from the Interfaith community? Okay. There's one other thing that I don't want to forget before we have you talk about what's happening in the Interfaith ministry. The Chamber of Commerce, I learned this yesterday too, is also holding what we call our Lunch and Learn through the Diplomats Committee, and that is going to be on September 19th. 12 o'clock at Heritage Bank, and it has to revolve around interfaith ministry in Wilmer, and there's going to be five speakers. It's going to be Pastor Keith from Assemblies of God, Pastor John Dahl from Bethel, Pastor Dane from Vinci, Pastor Naomi from Calvary, and then the Imam.
Wonderful.
So that is Thursday, September 19th, noon, to one at the Heritage Bank Conference, their new conference room.
And is there a title for this event?
Well, they're called Lunch and Learns.
Okay.
Our Diplomats Committee has them quarterly.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly what the title is. I think it's going to be faith.
Okay.
Or, you know, faith differences or something like that. So. So Nadia, I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
All right. Well, I apologize. It was Steve Meyer who was going to come and present to you, so I hope you'd be okay with me being here. On behalf of the Wilmer Interfaith Network, my name is Nadia Milani Fita, and I'm relatively new to Wilmer, although I have very deep roots here. I'm related to the wonderful Engen family through my sister Mitra, who's named to Andy, and my parents and younger sister also live here in Wilmer. And the Wilmer Interfaith Network is also a fairly recent fixture in Wilmer, although there has been, I think, a long history of interfaith collaboration in Wilmer. The group started with a group of Christian ministers who really wanted to see more organization around interfaith efforts in the community, particularly in response to a lot of the Islamophobia and anti-Islamic, anti-immigrant sentiments that, you know, these voices were rising, and they wanted to have an equally loud voice on the side of fostering harmony, unity, religious tolerance, and acceptance in the community. The group formalized itself as the Wilmer Interfaith Network when we were approached by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Healthy Together project and encouraged to submit a grant proposal for our group. Under the guise of Wilmer is healthier as a community when we are unified and when we break down the barriers that divide us. Our motto is, I should have worn our t-shirt, but it's better together. And so it's been a really, for me, an extremely enriching experience to be part of a group that brings together at the table representatives from multiple Christian denominations, Lutherans from both the Milwaukee Synod as well as the ELCA branches of the Lutheran Church, the Methodist minister, representatives from the Catholic community, Presbyterian, the Imam, and other representatives, women from the Islamic Society, and Baha'is. I'm a member of the Baha'i community in Wilmer, small yet here. Mm-hmm. And our recent meeting included members of the AOG Church as well, Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. So the kinds of projects that we've been doing or initiatives that we've been trying to share with the community, we started with a community potluck. It had to be postponed because of a polar vortex, but it went ahead nonetheless. It was still a very, very cold and bitter night, but people showed up to the community center just over the way, and it was a wonderful gathering of a diversity of people, and people shared food and conversation, and for some it was a very profound experience for them. They said, you know, there was one woman from a neighboring town, she said, this is the first time I've ever spoken to a Somali. And, you know, they probably see Somali people every day as part of their going about town, but the first time that she'd actually had a conversation. So, I mean, it's these little things that we feel as a group check the boxes of, you know, our success criteria. We are breaking down some of the barriers that have divided people and helping to create more just understanding. So we co-hosted with the local mosque a iftar dinner, so that the whole mm-hmm. community of Wilmer could come out and share a meal together in the mosque, like that beautiful picture over there, and learn a little bit about what is Ramadan, why do our Muslim co-workers not eat during the day, and what is the, you know, the physical parameters of Ramadan, but also what are the spiritual conditions of fasting. And for a lot of Christians and people of other faiths, it was like, oh, okay, we have similar traditions in our faith as well. It was around the same time as Lent. So, you know, the group is really about promoting understanding and appreciation for the similarities between our faiths, and instead of dwelling on those things that might be different or distinguish us from one another. And we have also hosted, when the Christchurch massacre occurred some months ago, the interfaith group came together and offered interfaith prayers at the mosque as a show of support to our Muslim brothers and sisters in the neighborhood. We have supported the WilmerFest block party and had a table with just lots of information about different faiths and backgrounds, but also games that brought the whole idea of the booth really was, you know, throw some beanbags around with somebody that you haven't met before. And, you know, we all like to play games. And we gave away free T-shirts that said, loving your neighbor is loving your neighbor, with all the symbols of the various religions on it. So these kind of are the major messages of the group. And we're very, very keen to collaborate with other groups because we know we're, you know, this small group of individuals is not the only ones in the community that want to promote this kind of spirit of unity and harmony. So we've worked together with the Art Express group and participated in the Art and Culture Trek Round Robin, which ended up at the community center again because of weather. And we're eager to support the initiatives and efforts of other local groups in promoting unity, basically. We're very, you know, pleased to be invited to this meeting in particular because we feel that some of the, you know, there are obviously some other groups that don't feel the same way. And we had a lot of discussion recently when a speaker was brought to one of our local churches to speak about the Trojan horse of interfaith dialogue. And one of the pastors from our group, Pastor Dane from Vinci, he bravely attended that. And we had a lot of discussion about, do we go? Should we hold placards? Should we all wear our T-shirts and, you know, have a demonstration outside? And we decided, no, that's not within the spirit of our group. And we also didn't want to go and represent, you know, support for this individual because we didn't feel that the ideas that he was voicing were really conducive to this spirit of unity. But Dane went to just hear what the speaker was sharing so that if we did have a response, it would be informed by, you know, actually knowing what he said. And many of you would have seen Pastor Dane's response in the newspaper. And we were very, very pleased that the newspaper chose not to edit down his statement, but to publish it in full, and, you know, to give it a headline and really make it stand out. To us, that really spoke volumes for the values of this community. And I think also what was profound about his attendance of that gathering was just the sincere Christian love that he extended to the Muslim family that was also in attendance at that gathering. And we all know that there's only so much that groups and organizations can do. It really comes down to the individual acts of, you know, each person choosing to do right, to be noble, to recognize the nobility in others and treat them with human kindness and godly love. So I think what our group strives to do is to create a climate within the community where those who may be hesitant or feel unsupported know that they are supported, that there is a growing community of voices that are saying, you know, this is the right way to think and act and be and speak, and to not fear, but to have faith that, you know, if God tells us one thing in his word, there isn't an alternative way, no matter how much people may try to offer dissenting voices or contradictory statements, and that it's not easy necessarily. We don't know necessarily how to interact with new people in our community. We're unfamiliar, but we should have faith and not fear. So another plan for the near future is actually an event called Faith Over Fear by an organization from Washington that brings together interfaith groups. And I think perhaps Dane, he has more information about it, may extend the invitation beyond the interfaith network into the wider community for individuals who are interested to come and participate. It's like a training in how to engage in these conversations, how to empower individuals and communities to respond with faith and not fear to, you know, these changing demographics and to the tensions that naturally arise when communities go through big changes, and Wilmer has. But Wilmer has also, as the New York Times so beautifully stated, done an incredible job at responding to these changes with a great deal of positivity, a great deal of compassion, and recognizing and honoring the rights that all humans have to live with respect and dignity and to be treated with equality and justice. So, thank you very much. Any questions? I either did really, really well.
Well, Sean's like, he's coming out of his ears, well, so he's thinking. Yeah.
Well, Nadia, I mean, you're coming from the faith background. We're coming from, we're formed of like a political arm, you know, as far as the city's concerned. I am not opposed to exploring ways that we can bridge that gap as well. And any ideas that you would have, I mean, we are the partner in the cause, right. Obviously. Yeah. So that is, it's new. I don't know if there is maps of how to do. I mean, you're obviously doing an interfaith thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's no reason it can't be government and faith working together.
Well, I think, you know, there are exactly that, is that, you know, there are so many voices from so many different sectors of the community that are all, you know, essentially sharing the same message. And so, like, for example, this recent event of the speaker that came to speak about, you know, and shared a lot of anti-Islamic sentiments, we thought, you know, instead of trying to create any dissension, probably the better response is to create, you know, really loud voices from multiple corners that counteract or at least are higher in volume than that voice. So, you know, that would be an opportunity, or other, you know, similar things that are shared in the community, for, you know, multiple letters to be submitted to the newspaper or multiple articles or another event on the same night, you know, which brings a speaker that's speaking about, you know, embracing diversity. I think, you know, the faith approach is not one that will reach everybody, because not everybody in the city is a person of faith, and that's completely fine. You know, we recognize that and we honor that as one of the elements of our beautifully diverse community. So other groups can also, you know, speak a similar language, but from whatever standpoint they're coming from.
So is it true that speaker is coming back again shortly?
He has been in this area a few times just in the last year. Spicer, and so, I mean...
Right.
Where was he from? Who is paying this guy?
He's from one of the suburbs in the Twin Cities. And actually, Pastor Steve Meyer, who was supposed to be here tonight, he said that when he spoke in another community, like, there was a group that actually went and spoke directly to him and, you know... basically laid down the law. It's like, we don't subscribe to these values in our town, and he didn't come back. So I'm like, we didn't feel that it was our place to do that, because we didn't really represent the whole community. But, you know, I think there might be groups in this community that have a louder voice than ours and could, you know, either speak to the church that's paying for him to come, or, and I think, you know, some of the pastors in our church did approach the pastor of that hosting church.
What church is it?
It was the Harvest.
Harvest Church.
Yeah, right.
Interesting.
And I do know Ben sent him an email to the pastor at that church and did not hear back from him.
So there's a little background. He's come to the Harvard Church as well.
Right.
And my husband wrote to him, and that pastor said, we need to protect the community. That was his response. And then, yes, he came back and went to the two churches. But now on September 10th, the book club, they're the ones who brought this other guy in. It's not a church, really. They're just a group called the book club. It's capital T-H-E-E. All of it's capitalized. And then book club. And so they're having a speaker come in on the 10th. The day before 9/11, for Patriots Day, and they're having William Federer. And I, that was the video that I sent.
Yeah.
So this isn't William Federer that came?
No, that is not him. So William has some, you know, Christian books and things, but he has some about Islam. And then we found the YouTube video where he was very much, you know, putting fear in people. Mm-hmm. And so my fear is that this event that is portrayed as being patriotic and giving honor to, you know, firemen and police and things, I just wonder what if it's going to turn into hate speech.
It's dog whistle bigotry. That's all it is. Yeah. I've been to one of these things.
So do we know where it is in the new location?
It is going to be at the city auditorium, which is the piece that really bothers me.
Mm. Well, and that,
and the mayor is actually going to give the opening.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the weird part, because when I brought it up at Chamber yesterday, that was one of the first things that Ken Warner said. Does the mayor know this?
I sent him the video.
Oh, well, you did.
Mm-hmm. And the mayor, he's waiting for after this meeting. I said we were probably going to talk about this. He said if this is a hate speech potential deal, he would really like to be aware of that, because that was not his understanding. And if it were, he would back out of that. But so I guess I don't know enough about this gentleman or what he's doing.
Has he seen the video?
I don't know the answer to that.
I sent it to him today.
That video seems to be clips of all sorts of things that this guy. Maybe it's all from the same speech, because he seems to be wearing the same thing.
We were presented with this last night at the city council meeting. Glenn Megan, as well as, what's Mrs. Ammon's first name?
She's the head of the book club.
Heidi Ammon.
Heidi
Ammon. They were there to present, and Glenn gave, at the public comment, talked about the event, handed out flyers for the event, made note that the mayor had read several books from this guy, and it was going to be basically an event where we celebrate the country and the near the anniversary of 9/11, and said that firemen would be recognized individually, police, and so on. And I think an invitation, more I'm learning now, the invitation is also going to Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, which. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're covering all the patriotic bases, but I don't know what the message is going to be.
All the more reason to vet the message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's the main speaker at
correct.
This patriot palooza.
If it goes the way they described it, that's wonderful.
Yep.
That's wonderful. But if it takes this turn, you know, if they're using this as a way to get more people into
with
here,
Federer as their speaker.
Yeah, that's and then being downtown. Right down the street from, that could even be dangerous.
Mm. Right.
You've got, you know, carrying people, their handguns, and they might get mad. Who knows? I mean, maybe it won't even be safe. Maybe I'm going too crazy. I don't know, but.
So it's being sponsored by the Book Club.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an event that's got the stamp of.
But to me, being at the auditorium, and having the mayor there, that's like saying
the city is right.
Yeah.
The book club, I've never heard of that group before. I've heard of book clubs, but.
Yeah, no, it's called the Book Club.
The W.
If you look on Facebook, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm. Have they done something like this in the past? Or?
Just had the you know.
They were the ones that brought him to
they
the Harvest
were the
Church?
Ones that mm-hmm. brought.
Oh, at the Harvest Church?
Mm-hmm. And the harbor.
Is this the guy that you saw, Levin?
Is it that guy?
Is this the same guy that you saw?
The guy that name's not ringing a bell.
You went to the previous one out in Monte?
I'm trying to think of his name. Yeah, but that was in Montevideo. And they had that at the city center in Montevideo.
Council
they had me doing security for that. They were checking people's bags and stuff because this guy was worried that Muslims were going to come in and shoot him for his message.
Mm.
People were terrified at that thing.
When was that one?
This was last fall.
Okay. Because I know there was another speaker in Montevideo a couple years ago, and people in Wilmer had death threats after that.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. I had to, there were people that actually stood up and tried to call him on this stuff. I didn't know what I was signing up for when I went to do security. I had to escort those people out.
Was that in Monty?
Yeah.
Is that last year?
That was last fall.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't want to see stuff like that, and the city should not be endorsing it.
And normally that's been my policy for these kind of things as a decision maker, is when the hate speech comes, I ignore them as much as we can and not give them any press, because usually like the conflict, it usually gets people inspired to go.
They're sly about it.
But this is a little different in that they did pick a significant city building, and they do have the mayor who's agreed to do the opening, and they came to a council meeting and presented, and we get all kinds of events like that all the time that are
positive. A Trojan horse.
And so
the message you received was different than what we're hearing.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Mm-hmm. That's why
it sounds wonderful, the way they describe it.
Exactly, and so...
Can I get that email?
It was, I don't...
The email for...
I forwarded it to everybody.
Because I
have
it.
I brought my iPad if you want to watch it.
I mean, the flyer is very, it's... You'd say, okay, we're going to wave some flags and recognize our public servant people.
The city... Where is it being presented?
City
auditorium. Is that something you rent?
I think that's exactly. And that's where you're restricted to. You can't, if you're going to rent it, you have to rent it to
everybody.
Yeah.
Unless you have a pilot. Something.
Right. But do they have regulations about when you about using the city auditorium? Are there guidelines for what can be rented?
No, I don't think.
Do you want me to play
this? Not that many groups rent it, just to be honest with you. Lobin, you didn't see it?
Do you want, it's not that long.
No, we don't have to take up meeting time for it.
Right, it's just a minute.
It's a minute.
It's less than 2 minutes.
I'd like to see it. I didn't get a chance.
Yeah, you did too.
It's crazy.
Slavery was the number one way that Islam was financed for 1,400 years. Sharia Muslims come in, and they take over neighborhoods. And they call Jews apes and pigs, and you can beat your wife.
Uh-oh. Well, might be all we get. That
might have been enough.
Right.
Can't tell the story.
Pretty much more the same, yeah.
Yeah, he just goes on, and that's all it is him talking like that.
Well, does the city have the grounds to break an engagement if a group wanted to rent that? You know, I guess because if they have they come across as if it's a very legitimate and reasonable thing, but because of listening to the message, would the city have a grounds that you could make a change?
Well, the mayor, like I said, the mayor, if he thinks it's his prerogative he'll say, yeah, I won't do that. They've already rented the facility. I don't know because it's too soon to say, but I mean, you could probably talk about, in light of what the message could be from what he has said in other places, we need additional security at the expense of the group putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like that but that would be I think we should probably contact the city administrator. I think that would be that. Isn't that proper channels, Janelle? The city administrator would make that call, or would it be felt?
They probably would. With each other. It'd be interesting to see what the if there's any form they fill out when they rent it. That would be, wrong.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should check out a little bit of this a little bit more tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It's basically the speaker that's going to change the color of this event, or that's going to make this event.
Because how it was presented, I'm telling you, I didn't have a problem with it at all. But then more things keep trickling out that it could be a little bit
Trojan horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the follow-up?
Well, I think Vicky's already probably helped that by sending that to the mayor. I told him I was going to respond to him. I'll tell him I heard a 10-second clip.
It's right.
And
okay.
You can't get it to load.
You have the link.
She can send
it
to me.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Wi-Fi here?
But if the city has
they
to provide security,
I don't know if the city has to provide.
But if the issue comes up, if there's an issue that could challenge it, the city could say there has to be security.
Yep. Uh-huh.
That would be legitimate.
I think
it has
so.
To be a safe event.
Absolutely.
And then that cost would be legitimate to charge back to that mm-hmm. event.
Especially in the light that they're going to have kids there. I mean, they're yeah. they're going to bring scouts and things like that. It just
yeah. right,
yeah.
right. It's dangerous. Just so that I mean, this is kind of another thing. But what can we? I mean, what can we do to support the work, the interfaith?
It sounds like you're doing it.
Okay. Okay.
this is exactly it.
We'll see if this.
The book club doesn't sound like it's that dangerous a group.
No.
Well, and
because there's
not.
All sorts of people who are in book clubs, right? It seems.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
This is a certain. but perhaps yeah. some members of our committee should meet with that, with their executive.
But I would venture guess they don't read a book every month and then talk about it.
No, they
that's
think,
what book
they
clubs
think they're
do.
Following the book, the
yeah.
Bible,
yes.
no, which no. that's not the Bible I read. No. Doesn't mm-hmm. tell mm-hmm. me to treat people that way.
No, is it?
I just don't think it's
coming. Okay. Might not be. Yeah, the link is
Rose.
In that.
And they call
oh.
Jews apes and pigs, and you can beat your wife, and you can honor kill your daughter. And the guy will have four wives, put them all on welfare, will have 17 kids, and be living like a king while he's Islamifying. It's culturally a stigma for a Muslim woman to have less than five children. Muslim immigrant men raping European women. Why? Muhammad permitted his men to rape the women they took in battle. There's freedom for all religions in America, but Islam's not just a religion. It's a political system and a military system. The goal is to have a form of government that does not allow other religions. Muslims immigrate to neighborhoods in America. They want to enact Sharia law. Think of it. We would not call Native Americans Indians over here if it had not been for a jihad over there. And women are at the back of the room because Muhammad said if a dog, a donkey, or a woman passes between you and Mecca, your prayers are invalidated.
Because initially I would put this in the same category as all those other speakers. They're not going to have a big bunch of folks going, but this has been this has gone a little farther than that.
This is the same group, the book club that brought it to the other church.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same group again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a record.
Book club.
Glenn sent me an invitation.
So Sean, you are.
I'm gonna contact the mayor this evening.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, beyond that, I think you might want to explore the registration for it. And maybe you know, have the Mr. Felt take a look at it as well. If this is something that's gonna, if he thinks it rises to having more security and so on, what the procedure is for that too.
Well, as a commission for human rights, would it be appropriate for us to kind of make a statement to give to the mayor, not just you? I mean, as a collective voice.
Or Sean could relay.
What is the date of this
right.
presentation?
September 10th.
That we could all.
The night before 9/11.
Right. Okay, that's so it's 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, there's some urgency here.
But there's also time to do something.
Right.
I'd hate to give the event more publicity than it already
right.
does.
Exactly.
It
oh,
seems
right.
like this idea, if the police chief could rule that there's it may be a security issue and you can charge them for providing security, make them provide security.
That's what I was thinking.
That's money.
Right.
That would be a...
Right.
Because the point is moot. The rules... allow them to rent the auditorium.
Oh, and Andrew Lane will be there as well.
Yeah. It just feels really underhanded, you know, advertising
mm-hmm.
it that way, having
right.
Andrew Lane, mm-hmm. having the mayor.
Right. Right.
Did you send this to Andrew Lane as well?
No.
So Sean, you are following up tonight with the mayor.
Yeah.
Okay. And will you let us know what his response is?
Sure. I'll send it back to you.
Okay.
But, you know, you might
and
think on it. I don't know what he'll do.
Right.
So is there any like plan B after days after? I mean, because from the audience, it would be a lot of from my view, everybody. confusion, maybe, you know?
Right.
So days right. after, I know if we can maybe a statement from, if the speech turned into a hate speech, you know, mm-hmm. from the Human Rights Commission, something, I know, to the newspaper yeah. or something.
Just saying the city did not condone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If he even does. But maybe that's he'll.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like I mean, just in that case.
They have 36 people.
But I think just the fact that he has a history of making such comments, even if he doesn't say anything,
right.
people who are coming to the event because they know him will know his message. And
right. and he's coming to a very diverse community,
yes.
and he that's
he might
his
not,
main message.
Yeah. He might not
overall.
Even need to say anything in that direction to incite
right.
sentiments that are negative.
You think his supporters will show up anyway?
Sure.
Yeah.
They have to jump on the Trojan horse.
Right.
Do their deeds.
Other thoughts of what should happen after Sean takes, like you said, kind of the plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts that people have after Sean talks to the mayor.
So I'm going to talk to the mayor, but then I think tomorrow, I'm gone most of the day at a Twins game, but we need to send the message to the city administrator and to the police chief.
Okay.
Are all the firemen are intending to come then, as far as you know?
I have no idea. That's another thing, is that he had contacted several.
Perhaps the
firemen
and the police should be alerted to
right.
the nature of the event.
The Boy Scouts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, this.
Right.
Because I don't know how they're going to be used in that. I mean,
okay.
there's often retirement flag ceremonies. There's a
right.
lot of things that
maybe by approaching different groups that would be part of it without knowing anything, maybe it'll sort of fall apart and become weak.
I think if that video would be sent to the firemen or the Boy Scouts and things,
mm.
I think the leaders would...
That's
not
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
probably where you.
That's a good idea.
Right.
Come in too.
Right.
Because I mean, Cavalry has.
No,
a
maybe
Boy
knowledge
Scout
is power here.
That comes out of there.
Because mm-hmm. we can't keep them from coming to the auditorium, but to try
right.
to sort of
to just silence the voices.
Well, many. Yeah, I mean, I would say okay. I mean, the perfect timing as far as you wanting to find bridges. I mean,
right.
Like I said, Cavalry and the Catholic Church both have Boy Scout troops.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's the American Legion. For the ones in town.
Right.
They'd probably like to be aware of what they're being involved
right.
in.
Right. Okay.
But again, I,
okay.
I couldn't tell you that that's what the event is going to be.
Right. Right.
Do you know what the
but
name
that
of the event
is? Speaker.
That is the speaker.
That is the speaker.
What's that?
What's the name of it?
Is there a name for that event?
Oh, yeah, there was. I just saw
yeah.
honoring
Patriots.
And remembering or something to this effect. Sorry, I just had
yeah.
it open too.
Patriot Day event.
Yeah. Honoring and remembering with William Federer.
Patriot
that's
Day
event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Facebook. 5:30. Oh, the actual event though. 5:30 is the beginning, and then 6:30 is when the actual event starts.
THEE Book Club.
Yeah.
Does have a website.
I think, you know, you suggested that the distribution of this video might come from the interfaith group. I feel like the message would be far clearer and more firm if it came from a group such as this
mm-hmm.
or from city council or some other non-religiously affiliated group.
I don't disagree with that,
yeah.
but I would say it depends on what the audience is.
Sure.
For the Boy Scout troops that
yeah.
are sponsored by churches.
Yeah, oh, that's
it
right.
See,
okay.
That's
yeah.
where I was
yeah.
going.
Yeah, and I think
right.
I'm going to have Vicky share the
right.
clip and the email with our group and have it distributed amongst
yeah.
our network,
right.
which is ministers as well as
yeah.
general members of the community. Yeah, I think that this is important to get out, just so that we know what we're getting into, right? And
did anyone know of anyone that attended the event in Spicer at the Harvest Church?
No, but I know someone who was at Harvest. Yeah, I do
well,
know
Dane,
someone.
Pastor
yeah,
Dane.
Pastor Dane.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nathan Shaley went to it also. And he waited until the end because he wanted to talk to the speaker. And he was yelled at and pointed at.
The speaker was.
Yeah, the speaker yelled at Nathan Shirley.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He put his finger in his face and he basically.
Nathan wanted to confront him and was put down.
Wouldn't listen.
And that's historically what's happened with this speaker. Like, they'll only take certain questions from the box, and anything that proposes that we should love our neighbors is vehemently attacked.
Okay. We'll see what the mayor says.
Again, I mean, it has to be whether he attends or not.
Right.
Beyond that, we're going to have to send up the poll and see what the people that have those decision-making have to say. But I think people need to understand.
Right.
I don't know what the intent here is, but if it goes into some of this, that we've been against that and will be forever.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's, I'm thinking about the security. When you say security, it's that day, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the precise day after or during the event?
If you have a large group of people, I think the city has a right to see that it's a safe event. And so they will have, if a circus comes to town, I think they do require that, it doesn't have to be a police officer, but somehow they have to see that there's a legitimate security force, and there's money for that.
And you saw when we have Rockin' Robins, you have to have a lot of police presence there when you have large gatherings like that. But I think also what the gathering can do is also one of those factors.
There may be a conflict between what the city police would ought to normally do without charge and what you could report prior to charge. That may be one of the issues. Because the city has to treat everybody equally.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. So, like I said, I'll contact the mayor, and then beyond that, we'll contact the city administrator or police chief and then see what goes into a contract with the auditorium piece.
It looks like he has a radio feature broadcast daily across America and the internet. Be interesting.
I just keep having a thought of one of our first meetings. There was a Somali gentleman on the commission who said, you know, we're like lions, but we have no teeth.
Right.
How could we put our teeth into this situation? I'm thinking just, maybe we need to be there as a commission. Just all of us sitting around, and people might know.
I'm going.
You're going?
I'm regardless, yeah.
Yeah. I'll sit next to you. You can bring your gun?
I always have my gun.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be right by you.
All right.
No, I think that, I mean, as a, I don't know if that really gives us teeth to speak of, but I think that we do have a need to get the word out that, you know, there is a Human Rights Commission, and, we don't have big teeth, but we do have an awareness of things that are going on out there in the community. I had somebody come to me the other day. She said, well, I heard these kids. They came up to me and said, they were Somali, and they were harassing her, basically. And they told her, well, we're here now. We're going to take it over, and this is going to be our town. So whether it's all true or not, I don't know if exactly that's what they said. I said, why don't you go talk to them? She didn't want to talk to them. Go to the mosque. Talk to somebody at the mosque if you have concerns. Go right there. She said, well, maybe I will. So, I don't know. Maybe she will.
I think that's a great plan. Mm-hmm. Because the same time during the event, it's kind of a representation of, you know, mm-hmm. Human Rights Commission. And when they start the event, saying, we want to salute, good morning, good afternoon, right? So the Human Rights Commission could be named, like good afternoon or something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can have name tags.
Mm-hmm. And the mayor could say, hey, you know, thank you to all our, our
representatives
commission
of that, yes.
Yeah. I like
Let's
going, but I'm not.
Let's see what the mayor says, yeah. Let's see what he says first, and then we'll.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking about the Westboro Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they show up for stuff, but I don't think that would be appropriate for us to put on big wings and stand in front of right. the stage, but you know, there it impacts people.
At the very least, we got to know what their message is, like what it ends up being. If we're not able to head this off at the pass, then we got to at least be able to control for what it's going to be going forward.
Absolutely. And I know one of the interfaith meetings I went to, I don't know if you remember, Bob Enos was there. Mm-hmm. And he was very quiet through the whole thing. And at the end, he said, why did you choose this night to do it? Because it was the same night that there was something going on at the Harvester. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I guess it was up in Spicer that
yeah,
night.
In Spicer.
Yeah. So that was his only question. That was his only comment. But he's, you know, he's yeah. then he goes off and
right.
stirs up things and gets other people motivated to do his dirty work. So.
Okay. I do have two other items. But thank you, Nadia, very much for coming and letting us know what the network is doing and working on. We'll keep our eye on this event. Sean's going to follow up. And then also that Lunch and Learn on September 19th at noon at Heritage Bank would be a good event also.
Nadia's got a video. The video
yes.
that you showed at the library,
oh, yes.
and I was going to get it for our church.
Yes, yes.
And I think that might be some kind of an event to. It's awesome. It's a great video that
yeah.
we could attend or promote.
And that one is I mean that was on public television, so it's free
yeah.
and accessible to
okay.
the community on race amity.
Okay.
So as opposed to you know, raising the voice on racism and. Racial tension, this voice, this video just really projects this idea of race amity and the historical background of race amity. Our efforts have been ongoing for centuries towards building bridges across different races and promoting unity within our nation. So it was produced for public television and it's called An American Story, Race Amity and the Other Tradition. So if you'd like to learn more about that, you can...
Say that again, An American Story.
Yes, Race Amity, A-M-I-T-Y, mm-hmm. and The Other Tradition. And I think you can just find it at raceamity.org. And I have a physical copy of the DVD. Otherwise, I can share a link with you to the film.
Thank you. Thank you. Just the GAIR update now. On July 18th in the afternoon, the League of Minnesota Cities, because we are a part of the training, came to Wilmer. Thank you. Yep. Go ahead and
thank you.
Thank you very
yes.
much.
Thank you all. Good to see you.
Came to Wilmer and did a whole afternoon training, 4 hours, and it was mandatory for all the department heads. And the interesting thing when I walked in there, it was very much white males, which I thought Vicki and I were sitting in the back. And however, I felt that the training was well received. I have since heard comments about it. And we, you know, they started out kind of doing a mini seminar of some of the trainings that we have been going to, you know, since March or whenever they started. And, you know, really getting all these men thinking about race and race relations. And it was very, I thought they did a really great job with the training. Like I said, I've received very positive comments from people who I've seen at Chamber Connection meetings or at church that were at that training that have come up to me and talked about how positive it was. Vicki, do you have any other comments about
no,
that
I
day?
No, I thought it was really good, though. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just more awareness, some education. Just like I said, a four-hour training on... just some race issues, how the United States got in some of the situations that we are now, and portions of the trainings that we've been going to for the last several months. So it was And that was part of our perk for being a part of this, is that it was a training from the League of Minnesota Cities to come out and do that for us. And right away, you know, it was kind of weird. There's a lot of people sitting like this, but then by the time we were about halfway through the training, people were engaged, they were talking, you know, engaged with the speaker, and I thought it was very positive. So we'll see what the next steps are with that group. We meet again on September 12th is the next training in Redwood Falls, but as far as next steps.
Is it the same training, like a second session, it's, like the same, or
well,
a
this
set?
Training we've been having since March, actually. So the City of Willmar is part of the GAIR, Government Alliance for Racial Equity, that is sponsored in part through the League of Minnesota Cities. And Willmar has joined that group, and the training that we're working on is for small cities. They've done some for, you know, the Minneapolis, the Duluth, the Moorheads, but this is for smaller cities, more our size, and just some of the issues that we're having. And it's been really good. And so it's been going once a month almost since March. The February one was canceled because of weather, so it got delayed a month, and then we've been going, and now we have two more in September and October.
So. What are the expected outcomes?
Well, they gave us we've been working some with what's called the Racial Equity Toolkit, and it's like, it's a process of going through basically our policies for the city, and examining our own selves and our city policies, like, are we equitable here? And just, it's hard to explain, but it's a way of rethinking how we establish policies. Like, we think everybody knows and thinks the same way we do. They don't.
Right.
And are we cognizant of that when we're developing these policies for the city, or are we just, you know, doing it the way we've always done it because that's the way we think? We being pretty much white males, to tell you the truth. So, but that's how we're working through that, yeah. So, did you have like a light bulb moment over there?
No, I just shared it with the mayor. I'm working.
Okay, you're working. Okay, okay.
Well, the mayor the mayor is not going to do it.
Okay.
He's pulling his support now.
Right.
And
okay.
He wants the message that he really isn't welcome here. But I told him that share his concerns with the city administrator, police chief, and fire chief tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay, I have one other item, and this has been asked us from the chamber, and now it's been pushed back. They used to have their kind of annual volunteer awards in February. They've now been pushed back to April, so we do have a little bit more time. But the chamber asked us if we would be interested in sponsoring a diversity award that would come from the Human Rights Commission and modeling it after St. Cloud. And Ken said to me that it would not necessarily have to be a chamber member business that we give the award to.
To a business,
yeah. And this is, I'm going to read you what the St. Cloud one says, and then we can work on adapting it to Willmar if we want to move in this direction. The St. Cloud Area Chamber of Commerce supports an inclusive business community by encouraging all chamber members to advocate, enhance, and promote equity of opportunity in all of their business practices. Our vision is thriving business community that prospers through being inclusive of all people. The Chamber of Commerce recognizes an outstanding business or business representative who demonstrates or fosters diversity in the workplace. one individual or business will be recognized during the conference. Nominate a business or business representative that you feel is working to advance and celebrate diversity and inclusiveness in their business and the Chamber of Commerce. So I'm going to send this out. I didn't want to send it before I had a chance to explain it a little bit for all of us to look at and kind of mull it over. And then I'm going to also send out, these are the templates for the Willmar Chamber of Commerce for the volunteer awards that they give out annually, which is now going to be in April. So you guys will know what these are too. This is what the template and the nomination form would look like if we decide to do this, but this will be, we will be deciding what the language says for Willmar, but this would be what the nomination form looks like.
So why wouldn't we do this?
Right.
I'm trying to think, how do we send this out to the chamber would send it out all to the chamber, all the chamber members, is that it?
Yeah.
And they who would make the number?
Well,
all businesses.
We would be the one who would be choosing the recipient, is what Ken has asked. That it would go out with the Chamber Volunteer Awards like this. People can make nominations, but then the Diversity Award would come to us to select. My guess is some of us are going to have some nominations.
And so the key part of the form is the area where you describe why this is just
right. Reasonable. Please describe the nominee's commitment to the advancement of diversity, inclusion, or multiculturalism as demonstrated by efforts and accomplishments.
Okay, that's important because I was going to say, how would we know perhaps the inner workings of all those businesses?
But right.
If they have to put that down, well,
that is on the nominee. As people fill out the form, I'm sorry, I should have read that. Those nominations would then come to this committee for us to choose. And like I said, if we knew of someone, we as individuals can make a nomination too. So
the question is, how do you get this to the people that are in a position to understand and know and be able to make a recommendation? I'm just trying to think.
Ken, his feeling is it would not have to be. We could nominate a person that wasn't a chamber member. The other awards are for chamber members, but he said this wouldn't necessarily have to be. So I'm going to send these out after today so that you guys can look at them again. And mull it over, because as we move forward, we'll have to decide probably in the next couple months, yes, if we want to do this. And then we have some time before the actual award is awarded in April. But they probably announce the award winners like in February or something. So, okay. The next, we have 2 minutes. So the next is our next meeting date, and that on the calendar is September 17th, and I will not be here that day. So Richard, are you here on September 17th?
I won't be here either.
I may have a conflict. I'll check that.
What's that?
I'm in Iceland.
You're in Iceland.
You're going to Iceland?
Iceland?
That's where I'm going to go.
I went to Iceland for a day.
I was going to say, I'm in Niagara Falls, but you know.
You're both going to be in Iceland.
Okay. Okay, you win.
Small Iceland.
I loved Iceland. I want to go back.
Do we want to?
What date?
Okay, but I'll be there.
20th.
Well,
I'm not going anywhere.
The 17th is the next scheduled date, but do we move it or do we wait till October? We could move it to the next week, would be the 24th.
I do have it that I don't have a conflict now.
Why don't we have it on the 10th at the auditorium? Oh, that's passive aggressive, sorry.
There's another thing.
You're not sorry, I know.
No.
I might be able to check tonight if there's something that might, but I don't have it on my calendar.
it might be good to debrief a little bit about what does or doesn't happen on the 10th.
Well, I can tell you, I have a few more things. The mayor has contacted me here. He just sent the message to the organizer that he is not going to do it. He said he should have been more vigilant, and he apologizes. He also sent the message to both chiefs, and he'll be talking to the city administrator in the morning. He feels he was played and was not happy, and that the book he read did not have this slant to it.
Okay.
He had read one of the books that this man had written, so.
They probably
that was the intro.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we moving ahead with the 17th, though? September 17th?
Let's do it tentatively.
So how many who can't be here?
Who can't be here on the 17th?
Okay.
You can be here, John?
Yes, I
okay. Okay.
Three cannot.
So okay.
I'm a yes.
As long as we have six, that's the quorum, so. Okay.
I could note tomorrow.
Okay. We will plan on the 17th, and if it falls apart, we'll do it then. Is there any other business before we adjourn? 6:01. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.